Welcome to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance with Jeffrey Panik from Balance Wealth Partners. In this space, we're keeping it real about money, unraveling the intricacies of spending and investing, and making it all about you. Dive into the journey of striking the perfect balance between enjoying the now and preparing for what's next. Money talk might seem complex, but we're here to simplify it. Join us as we, along with experienced guests, are planning for more than retirement. We are planning for life.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast Between Life and Money with your host, Jeffrey Panik. Jeff, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you too, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. I'm really well. The topic you're talking about today is a topic probably that needs to be discussed a little more often because it has increasingly become a more and more important part of our lives, whether we actually realize it or not.
It is. I think with, whether it's going out and buying a home or whether it's just simply turning on the utilities, understanding and how to manage your credit score is more important than ever. And really, a lot of times it's just very difficult to figure out how all the moving parts even work or why you have, why your score is 800 versus, 700 or so on. So.
Right. Well, it's like I one time to my great amusement, I was in a car dealership and the guy said, this is the number you can have on this car, but only if your credit score is absolutely perfect.
And it's really a question of, your credit score really controls your life. And it's really a question of how do you get ahead of that?
Yeah.
And, that's what we're going to discuss today, just better understanding it and understanding because a lot of individuals, they wait until they're ready to make a purchase, whether it's a car or, they're getting ready to purchase a home. And then they start looking at the credit score and saying, well, how can I get the point up? And it's like a lot of things in life. It's something that you have to manage and work with over time to work through the score and have a better payment history and work over time.
So it's something you can manage, but not necessarily at the last minute. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And I think a lot of it can be said, just like if you have an annual physical, it's a good idea to check your credit at least annually to make sure that everything is accurate and to make sure that you're tracking along and there's nothing that needs to be disputed, like an incorrect mispayment or an account that isn't yours.
So let's get started. I mean, maybe we should really get started. What exactly is your credit score?
So it's like a lot of things these days. It's come about to be a technological algorithm, if you will.
Yeah.
A lot of people have heard of FICO. It's not FICA, but it's FICO,
right.
Which stands for the Fair Isaac and Company. And that's the credit evaluation system that the company came up with, where it generates an individual score for every individual that has any sort of credit file or credit history. Typically the FICO system is going to rate a candidate or a prospective borrower between a score of 300 and 850. And a lot of things, the higher the score, the better. An excellent score greater than 800 is very excellent. And a poor score would be below 670.
Okay.
And so the question becomes, well, what is my score and how do I even figure that out?
Yeah, exactly.
And I would say the starting point is really to begin to understand your credit score is to understand your credit history. And to do that, what you want to do is pull your annual credit report, and you can do that free. There's a website that was set up by law that is www.annualcreditreport.com. And an individual can go to that at least, they can go to that annually and request a free credit report.
Mm.
And that pulls TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, which are the three credit bureaus.
Okay.
So you're able to look at all three and make sure that everything looks accurate. And that's really the most important thing. You really want to go through your credit history, make sure it shows all the correct balances on any outstanding debt, as well as if it shows any mispayments or any negative history that looks incorrect, you definitely want to dispute that. And like a lot of things, the sooner that you catch it, the easier it is to correct. And it easier, again, if you can correct these things, it would definitely impact your score and increase your overall score versus having the lower score.
I've noticed that my bank When I use the online, you know, application to pay bills, I've noticed that my credit score is available there. One of my credit cards lets me aware or tells me about my credit score. So it does seem like that increasingly more and more that number is put in front of consumers.
It is. And, you know, one of the things to be mindful of, you know, like with most things, you know, it starts with a free trial and then it turns into, you know, where they're billing you either monthly or annually for a service. And so it's important to understand that, you know, in a lot of cases, whether it's a free report minus the annual credit report that you're entitled to by law, there's usually some sort of string attached. And, you know, it's certainly not a bad idea to look at it at least, you know, monthly, quarterly, but you want to look at it at least annually. And at the same time, there are various services, as you mentioned, and even TransUnion, Experian, Equifax, the credit bureaus, they have their internal services where you can subscribe and it can typically give you a monthly update on your report. If anything changes, it'll let you know. There's also companies like Credit Karma out there that will work with you in a lot of cases to work through and build your credit up over time and help you make, you know, informed decisions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Credit Karma because I've seen their ads. I'm sure probably a lot of your listeners have seen their ads. Are they a free service? I suspect there must be something attached.
No, so it's like a lot of things. It's a subscription service.
Okay.
And in a lot of cases, there's different tiers. And so it's like anything else. You just want to make sure that you understand what the fees are on the on the front end of any of these.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you know, you really want to evaluate it because if you sign up for it and, you know, 6 months goes by and you haven't looked at it, and it's probably a good idea to unsubscribe so you're not paying that fee and you can save money there.
Yeah. And last question before we move on, really quickly, you know, is it true that every time you check your credit score, it impacts your credit score? Because I've been told that, but I don't know if it's true.
It's, you know, there's different varieties of how someone checking your credit, not if an individual checks their own credit, meaning what the score is, it has no effect.
Yeah.
It's more of an issue of if a retailer, an auto dealer, someone does a hard search. You know, if you have a few of those, that's going to affect your credit. And again, it's not on the high. And in a minute, we're going to get into just how, you know, how do they even come up with your credit score? And that's one of the things that we're going to kind of go over. You know, it's really a matter of what you want to do is once you understand what your score is, you know, you want to come up and say, well, how can I get that score higher? Or if it is high, how do I keep it there? And you know, it's like a lot of things. I mean, the biggest way to keep the score high or get it higher is to really make your payments on time. And it may seem obvious, but that is something that can get lost. You know, whether it's, you know, you have three or you have 10 different things going on and the bill is due, you know, you want to make time for that so that you don't miss a payment because that really can negatively affect you. And the other really is, you know, you just don't want to make the minimum payments. You want to try to make always more than the minimum payment due on a credit card. And that will help you because that shows that you're being responsible and you're trying to manage your credit better than someone that's just making the minimum payment and you know, just trying to get by.
Is that reflected in your credit score? I mean, do the credit agencies get that information? Oh, this person Bill is making minimum payments as opposed to, you know.
So they don't really see minimum payments. Well, they could probably see minimum payments in certain situations. It's more of your overall debt as it relates to what their credit, they have a certain percentage of what your allowable debt is. And so once you start reaching a certain point, it's obvious that there's going to be some certain issues there.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, again, the one thing I always tell people, you know, before you start, you know, whether you want to go out and buy something that may be discretionary, meaning you don't necessarily need it, you want to look and see how that fits into your budget, you know, and if it looks like it might be tight or you might not make it, your other payments to other things might become difficult, you should probably reconsider the purchase. Because again, if you get in a tight situation with a budget and it's not really working for you, it's going to be a situation where you may start having issues making payments on various items.
Yeah. That's where budgets really do come in.
Yeah. You know, and you know, one of the other pieces of it really, and, you know, I get a lot of questions too, is about student loans. You know, unfortunately, more and more adults have student loans. And, you know, the question is, well, does that have anything whatsoever to do with my credit score? And the answer is yes. And so a student loan comes up as a installment loan. And it is, you know, if you miss a payment, if you have issues making payments, it's going to really negatively affect your credit. And, you know, the same situation as any outstanding balances you have on credit cards, auto, home, all of that, you want to make sure the balances are accurate and you want to review the data. With the student loans, as an example, with defaults or just missing payments, it can really create some real headaches, especially when you're looking, a lot of people are getting into their, you know, late 20s, 30s, early 40s, you know, they're looking to make paint, you're looking to buy a home, you know, probably have to get a car. You don't want something that could carry with you through your 50s and 60s. And, you know, really, it gets back to the student loans and understanding, you know, what are you pursuing or trying to pursue? And, you know, it's easier for me or easier said than done, you know, when you're 16 or 17 thinking about, you know, what you're going to do in life, you know, and I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, you know, they've done studies and between 80 and 85% of students with what their initial major is, they change at some point during college. And so, you know, it used to be not a big deal because, you know, college wasn't, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 a year. You know, now if you start to become uncertain about things and you have to take out this debt and you end up in a situation where you have all the debt without a position or a job where you can earn, you know, enough to pay the debt, it is really a cascading effect and factor.
Thanks so much for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. We hope you're enjoying it so far. If you have any questions or would like to talk more about this topic, you can find us at www.balancewealthpartners.com and through all our social media platforms that are listed in the show notes.
So, okay, you mentioned this, that we were going to get to it. I want to know, how is this number cooked up, calculated magically? How does it appear? What is it?
Yeah, so it's pretty much a spaghetti technological algorithm. And
oh, that's good. Well, at least it sounds like something I could eat.
Exactly. At least if you're hungry, at least you can have that, right? But no, what you can do, though, is you can, FICO has a website, and they actually have a section in the website where you can go that's a learning area that will help explain how they calculate a credit score. And to go there, you would go to www.ficoscore.com/education. And the site is designed to provide helpful information to kind of give you an idea of how they come up with your score. You know, what we're going to do is just kind of explain the main, there's five key areas really in your payment history that the algorithm looks at. And they have different weightings. So really the biggest, and I mentioned this before, is your payment history. That accounts for 35% of your credit score. Ooh. And so, you know, if you start missing payments, like I mentioned, it's going to affect you more than, say, if you're opening new credit or if you're looking at your credit, they're looking at your credit mix. Because if you start missing payments, it really is an indicator where there's something wrong. And that really is going to negatively affect you. Another, which is a second pretty well-weighted one is, and this is pretty obvious too, 30% of the weighting is for the amount that you owe. So obviously, the more you owe, the more risk. And that's, you know, pretty reasonable as well. There's also length of credit history. That accounts for about 15%. There's new credit, meaning if you're opening new accounts, kind of like I think you mentioned before, that accounts for about 10%. And then credit mix counts for about 10%.
You know, if I'm opening up a credit card that several different retailers or online places, that will impact my score.
It potentially could impact it, but it's going to be relatively minor. Where it's going to start impacting you is once the balances come on those.
Yeah.
You know, if you start piling on balances, you know, that's going to get back into the amount that you owe, you know, which is going to push down your overall score. And again, it's a really a way for retailers, all the different groups that use, you know, your credit score, really to manage the risk, you know, even turning on the cable or the power, you know, in order to flip the switch, you know, they're going to ask you to, they're going to run your credit, and yep, they may require a deposit. If they don't, you know, that's usually a good sign. That means your credit's probably not that, you know, it's not bad.
You mentioned, I interrupted you, and I'm sorry, you mentioned credit mix, and I was like, all I could think of was cereal. So
no, so a credit mix is really, you know, do you have all of your debt? Is it all in credit cards? You know, is it really the better mix? You know, if you have maybe a car payment, you have a home or rent payment, you have a credit card, and then, you know, in the case of an installment loan, as an example, you have a student loan, is the debt spread out? Meaning that it's just not all in, you know, 21% interest bearing credit cards.
Gotcha.
But not interest bearing, but, you know, the credit card company is getting the interest. So, you know, again, it's a matter of, by having these different, you know, obviously, typically, you would hope a car payment, if you have a loan on a car, it's going to hopefully be a lot less than what you would expect on a credit card. And it gets back to the whole conversation about reviewing and monitoring things on an ongoing basis. You know, if you just do something and you forget about it, it's not really good with your credit. You want to be actively monitoring to make sure there's no changes, make sure all the history is correct. And if there is anything wrong, you want to make sure you dispute it and get it taken off, because you just never know, you know, whether it's having an issue with your car where you have an accident and you have to get a new car, you want to make sure that you're able to get credit where you, if necessary. And, you know, if you can save by having a higher score, you know, that will make the purchase and money that you can use for other things, you know, much, much easier. And you put yourself in a potentially better place.
Yeah. I can't talk about this for a second. I've got a quick question. Everything you said makes a lot of sense, and it's been actually pretty informative. But how do you dispute? Say I pull up one of these credit reports and I look at it and think, I didn't buy that, or I don't have that card. How do you go about disputing something that's on your credit record?
That is a good question, Bill. And you know, really what you want to do is go in. If it's not accurate, you can either dispute it through their online system, or okay, you could send a letter. You could send a letter directly to the credit bureau. You know, obviously you want to distinguish the different credit bureaus, and they're all going to have different histories potentially for you, but you want to make sure, you know, they all line up. And what you want to do is make sure that if one is incorrect, if your TransUnion report is showing an incorrect mispayment, or if it's showing a higher balance, you know, yep, you don't want to reach out to Experian or Equifax, because they're just not going to care. You know, you want to make sure you reach out to the actual, that credit bureau, and you want to make sure that you check. And you mentioned, you know, if you go to TransUnion's website and you pull your credit report, you just want to make sure you're pulling all three of the credit reports, because, you know, what just because you look at TransUnion's report and it's great and everything, doesn't mean that Experian and Equifax are the same way. And it's, you know, often difficult if you're applying for a credit card or a car loan or even a home to figure out what the person that's pulling your credit, what agency they're even using. Yeah. But, you know, that's one of the other things. I mean, if you're looking to buy a car, you want to try to minimize someone pulling your credit, just because your information, that's one more time that your information is out there and could be in danger or in jeopardy of identity theft.
Yeah. You know, when a long time ago, when we were buying our first property together, it's a condominium, it was interesting because we were going through all the credit reviews and all of the background stuff and everything and filling out mountains of paperwork. And I got this request for explanation, if you will, because it turns out there are a lot of Bill Tuckers in the world. Huh. And they had questions, and they actually, instead of just assuming that everybody with bad credit named Bill Tucker was me, they made me swear an affidavit out that none of those people with bad credit, in fact, was me. But it was really eye-opening, because I thought, well, how could they confuse me with anybody else? But it turns out, actually, it's more common than I had thought.
It is. And I mean, if you look at fraud these days, and, you know, I've always said, you know, with the identity thieves or just the general technological fraud these days, if they actually focus their intent on doing something good with their skills, they probably wouldn't have to be stealing anything. But, you know, it's just really, really a matter of just, you know, always being on guard, unfortunately. And I think that's, you know, everybody is extremely defensive. And that's probably why right now our society is pretty pessimistic, just because it seems like anytime you get a break, you're thinking, well, what is, you know, if you get anything or any benefit, you're trying, you always think and say, well, what's in it for the other person that's doing this or company? And how are they trying to take advantage of me? And that's, you know, an unfortunate story on our society at this point.
Yeah, but it does go to your point that things can happen in your credit report, or things can be recorded as happening in your credit report. So you really should check.
Yeah, you should check. And at the same time, it's like anything else. You know, the longer that you wait to address an issue, the harder it is to fix. And that's in particularly very important in this case, because the longer that it goes by not being touched or fixed, the harder it's going to be to correct, because the data, everything is going to be old. It's much harder to go to your bank and do certain things to get the documents versus if you see it and it was a month ago, it's very easy to get it taken care of.
All right. So bring this home for us, Jeff, as we wrap up this episode. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think the important thing is to check your score at least annually. A government is set up a website, or there's a website set up through the three credit bureaus where they have to provide a free annual credit report and make sure that your information is accurate. And just staying in front of it, you will see your score go up if you do the right things. And just always make your payments. And if you miss a payment, you know, you try to go work with the, you know, whether it's a credit card company or whatever the group is, to try to get it fixed, because that's going to linger with you for a lot longer than what you would like.
You had mentioned the FICO website as well. Would you give that the education part of it? Would you mention that again and maybe include it in the show notes?
Sure. It's www.fico, and that's spelled FICOSCORE.com/education.
Great. Jeff, thank you as always. Really appreciate it. And I would encourage listeners to pay attention to this advice and actually just go check your credit score. It's not that hard to do. And it can be, as Jeff has noted several times during this podcast, it can be really important, because the last thing you want to do is be sitting there wanting to buy a house, buy a car, or whatever it is, and find out at the last minute that your credit score isn't what you thought your credit score was. So, Jeff, if anybody's listening to this wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach out and contact you?
Sure. I can be reached via my email as well as my phone. And I also have helpful information on my website. And really, you know, if I can't help you, I can at least provide some feedback and point you in the right direction.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Listeners, if you're not a subscriber to this podcast already, this is even easier than checking your credit score, because the button's right there in front of you. Just hit subscribe. That way you will never miss another edition of this podcast, and it will be delivered to wherever it is that you listen to this, be your smartphone or your computer. We would also ask that if you like the podcast, tell others about it. Let everybody know. Help spread the word about the podcast. Get that word out there. On behalf of Jeff, I'm Bill Tucker, thanking you for taking the time to listen to this podcast and reminding you that today you can go out and make this day a great day or not. It is your choice. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. Visit our website at balancewealthpartners.com. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Content here is for illustrative purposes and general information only. It is not legal, tax, or individualized financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any specific security or engage in any specific trading strategy. Results will vary. Past performance is no indication of future results or success. Market conditions change continuously. This commentary reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Jeffrey Panik. It does not necessarily represent those of RFG advisory, private client services, their clients, or their employees. This commentary should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by RFG Advisory or performance returns of any client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. Securities offered by registered representatives of private client services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered by investment advisory representatives of RFG Advisory, a registered investment advisor. Private client services, Balance Wealth Partners, and RFG Advisory are unaffiliated entities. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where RFG Advisory and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advisory services may be rendered by RFG Advisory unless a client agreement is in place.